Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News, where I, your brother and faithful servant in the Lord, am in studio once again to do battle, to wage war, to earnestly contend for the faith, earnestly contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. My brothers and sisters, we are here today to present proposition number 68. And we just keep going along. We just keep putting them up, and we are not getting a single response from any member of the Joint College of African American Bishops. Today, we're hoping and we're praying that they have their hearing aids on, because we're about to give the phone number, and the number here is 646-564-9730. Again, 646-564-9730. And we are hoping that they have their hearing aids on and they would call this broadcast. We can only suspect that it is because they have not had their hearing aids on that they have not called the broadcast. Again, the number here, 646-564-9730. I want to welcome all of our brothers and sisters tuning in from the continent of Africa, all of the brethren tuning in from Europe, all of the saints tuning in from Asia and the Caribbean, and the Americas, we welcome you. We welcome you to this solemn broadcast. Why are we doing this, you ask? Why are we doing this? Well, because we need a new and contemporary series of thesis or propositions to counter the current day abuses of the church. And we are being abused. Left and right, we are being abused. We have been hijacked. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been commandeered. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been taken over. And we need to fight back. We need to let these hijackers know, these ecclesiastical hijackers know, that we are not going to stand for it, but that we're going to make an intelligent defense for the faith. Well, let me read to you proposition number 62, and basically it just logically follows proposition 61, and let's read proposition 61 first, and then read proposition number 62. Proposition 61 reads, the purchasing of an insignia, such as the gold pectoral cross, makes those who wear them the grandest of hypocrites who render Christ lip service. They render to Christ, what do they render him? Lip service, lip service. There are things that come out of these people's mouths that they do not mean. They don't love the Lord, they love self. They're in love with themselves. They're in love with pleasures more than they are in love with God. They're in love with themselves. They don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they say, God forbid that we should glory in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ, that's just lip service. Classic lip service. Classic, classic lip service. Well, Proposition 62, here it is. The purchasing of an insignia, such as a gold pectoral cross, makes those who wear them the grandest of hypocrites who render Christ what? What do they render Christ? Lip service. Because, why are they rendering Christ lip service? Because they lay aside the commandment of God. They lay aside the whole word of God. They lay aside the whole counsel of God. And they lay hold of the tradition of men. That's what Jesus said. That's the problem, Jesus said. If you go down and dig for the truth, if you go down digging deep for the truth, you will discover that the reason why these men render Jesus lip service is because they have turned their backs on the word of God. They've turned their backs on the canon of scripture. They've turned their backs on the commandment of the Lord, and they have embraced the tradition and the canon law of the church. That's the real reason why. That's the biblical explanation as to why they're hypocrites, why they're the grandest of hypocrites. Why is it that when they open their mouths and they say things pertaining to the Bible, it's just lip service? They're reading lines. They really don't mean what they're saying. There's no heartfelt truth to what they're saying. They're simply speaking like an actor speaks when he memorizes or she memorizes her lines or his lines. And they're just rehearsing the lines, and they're just saying them, and they're just going through the motions. But they really don't love the Lord. What is it that they are following? The tradition of men. Well, let's turn to the prophet Isaiah. Jesus quoted him. The prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 29, verse 13, wherefore the Lord said, for so much as this people draw nigh me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precept of men. You see, again, it's not a real fear of the Lord. It's a man-made fear of the Lord. It is a fear of the Lord based on the traditions of men. And whenever you have a fear of God based on the traditions of men, you don't really fear the Lord. You will approach him with your lips. You will approach him with your mouth. You will say things. You will utter things, but they're not flowing from the heart. You're just a religious hypocrite, a religious actor who has been told to what lines to say. I mean, look at a Roman Catholic Mass. Have you ever seen anything so boring as the Roman Catholic Mass? Week in and week out, I know because I sat. You know my story. Half of my family, half my father's half of the family, were devoted Roman Catholics. And when I spent time with them, I went to Mass. I went to Catholic school. My father made sure that I and my siblings went to Catholic school. I went to a gazillion Masses. A gazillion of Masses. They were the same. Boring. The same. I knew the script. I knew what the priest was going to say. I knew when he was going to ask us to stand, when he was going to ask us to kneel. I mean, you did more exercises in a Catholic mass going up and down than you did in a gym. Than you did in a gym. It's the same boring thing week in, week out. A half hour before the mass, you go into the confessional booth and you tell the priest your sins, and then he'll tell you what to do. How many Our Fathers, how many Hail Marys, and out you go, next dum-dum into the confessional booth. We knew the routine. We knew about transubstantiation. We know what happens to the wafer, or what we're told happens to the wafer in the cup. We know. We knew it. It's the commandments of men. Boring! 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 No life! But then, when I was with my mother's side of the family, who were Pentecostals, boy, were those services Holy Ghost filled. I knew about the Holy Ghost. I knew about a Holy Ghost move. I knew about sanctification. I knew about holiness. I heard time and time again, without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. And boy, did those people lay down the law. They loved God. You prayed in the Spirit, and you prayed with your understanding. You knew your Bible. Every time we went to Grandma's church, it was a new and exciting service. You didn't know what the Holy Ghost was going to do. You just didn't know. Spirit-filled. Nothing to do with the traditions of men. But now, in that same African-American Pentecostal church, the same one, what do we have? Dead services, Roman Catholic services. Why? Because men have embraced the traditions of men and have laid down the commandment of God. They're no longer following the canon of Scripture. They're following the canon law of the church, which is a combination of the traditions of men and doctrines of demons. This is what we have today. This is what we're exposed to. So well did Isaiah say, "Wherefore the Lord said, for so much as this people draw nigh me, near me, with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me. And their fear towards me is taught by the precept of men." They have embraced the traditions of men. That's the root problem. Now, let us go to the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus specifically quotes Isaiah. Let me read to you in Matthew 15. Our Lord said, "Ye hypocrites, you actors, you phonies, you religious phonies. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrines and commandments of men." Laying hold of the doctrines and the traditions of men. Laying hold of the commandments and the traditions of men. Yeah, there you have it. Jesus connects the dots. Jesus connects the dots. Why are these men so twisted? Why are they so perverted? Why are they so far away from God? Because he says, "But in vain do you worship me." It's an empty worship. It's a hollow worship. "But in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In other words, they say these commandments of men are doctrine, but they're not. Jesus says they're not doctrine, but you take the commandments of men and you declare them to be doctrine, but they're not doctrine. They're the commandments of men. There's the commandments of men. So you have abandoned, you have let go of the canon of Scripture, and you have grabbed with both hands the worthless traditions and doctrines of men. That's why your heart is far from the Lord. Even though, as a grand hypocrite, you got that big old cross in your chest, and you say, "God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ." You hypocrite. Hypocrite! And it's not me who calls you a hypocrite, it's the Lord. Ye hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart, even though they wear a pectoral cross. What is a pectoral cross? A heart cross. A heart cross. But it's a cross that never enters the heart. They have no real love for Jesus. It's phony. It's just an accessory. It's another sheepskin. Sheepskin. Now, Mark, the gospel according to St. Mark. Mark chapter 7, verse 6 through 8. Let me read that to you because this matches Matthew 15. He answered and said, Jesus, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, and with their but their hearts is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrines and the commandments, teaching four doctrines, the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do. Like Mr. J. Delano Ellis, wash your face, make sure, look, Jesus talks about the washing of pots and the washing of hands and all that baloney. Here is Mr. J. Delano Ellis. Let me read this to you. He goes on to say on page 55 concerning grooming standards. Grooming standards are vital if we are to maintain credibility among our people and in the world community. Think about that. You have credibility because you have grooming standards? I never heard of such a thing. I thought you had credibility if you preached the Word of God. I didn't know that you can gain credibility. If that's the case, John Gotti, the gangster, or Al Capone, the gangster, I mean, they should have had great credibility because they were into grooming. I mean, those were sharp dressers. Those were men who, I mean, John Gotti and Al Capone and the rest of those mobsters. I mean, when you're a godfather, you're into big-time grooming. But those people never maintained credibility with the world. Babyface Nelson, the gangster who would go around town shooting up people with a Tommy gun, Babyface Nelson. I don't think Babyface Nelson had any credibility. But according to Mr. Ellis, in his book, The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church, he says on page 55, grooming standards are vital, if we are to maintain credibility among our people and in the world community. It is required that we wear our hair well cut and groomed at all times. Facial hair must be kept extremely well trimmed and always in proper and tasteful lengths. Manicures are encouraged, and since it is with our hands that we impart blessings, we encourage our bishops and clergy alike to take special care to attend to this matter. Well, that's what Jesus says here in Mark chapter 3, verse number 8. He says, laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things as manicures and facial hair and all that baloney. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandments of God and you keep your own tradition. That's what Mr. J. Delano Ellis has encouraged here. That's what he's encouraged. That's what he encourages with all of this nonsense about make sure you secure insignia. Make sure you go to Philadelphia and you get a mitre and you get gloves and you get for yourself an Episcopal ring and a pectoral cross and all of the other junk. That's what he recommends. But where did Mr. Ellis get all this? Where did he get all these ideas about where to get stuff? and what stuff to get. And why is Mr. Ellis turning out grand hypocrites? I mean, he's not turning out soldiers of the cross. He's not turning out men and women who would take up their cross and follow Jesus. No, on the other hand, they're wearing gold crosses, encrusted gold crosses, which Jesus said not to put on, not to wear, but to carry. To carry. Not to put on, but to carry your cross and follow him. Not carry your, not wear a cross and follow Rome. You see, you're to take up your cross and follow Jesus, not wear a cross and follow Rome. But where does Mr. Ellis get this? You're asking me, where does Mr. Ellis get all this gibberish? Well, that's a simple answer. He gives us the answer. Let's go to the audio tape. Let's hear what Mr. Ellis would have to say. Now, here he is consecrating a bishop. Here he is consecrating a bishop. And let's hear what he has to say at the end of the elevation or the consecration aspect of the service. Now, this is before the investiture part. This is before this person gets all of the vestments and all of the insignia. Now, this deals with the consecration aspect only. And look what look what J. Delano Ellis says.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. We've done what church or canon law requires.
Did you hear that? He says to the audience, we've done what church law, what church or canon law requires. We've done. We who have consecrated this bishop, we've done what church or canon law requires. Well, whoever heard of the Pentecostal church ever doing anything by canon law? Canon law is Roman Catholic law. Who brought this invasion of Roman Catholicism? Who opened the door to Roman Catholicism in the black church? Who brought this mess in? Well, J. Delano Ellis and his three other colleagues did. And he says, we've just ordained you according to church or canon law. Now, church or canon law is the traditions of men. It has nothing to do with the Bible. The Bible is the canon of Scripture. But he didn't say we've done this according to the canon of Scripture. He said we've done this according to church or canon law. This is why you can't find anything that Mr. J. Delano Ellis is doing in this service. You can't find any scriptural support for what he's doing. This is paganism unfolding before our very eyes. This is Roman Catholic paganism unfolding before our very eyes. And he just told us. He just told the world. He just told these thousand people present. We've ordained this bishop according to church or canon law. But what is church or canon law? It's the same thing Jesus said to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. You have laid down the commandment of God, you've laid down the canon of Scripture, which is the Holy Ghost-inspired Word of God. You've laid down what is of God, and you've taken up what has been inspired by men, wicked men, religious men, men who are the grandest of hypocrites. That's what you've done. That's what you've done. Let's hear Mr. Ellis again. Let's hear him again.
We've done what church or canon law requires. 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 we've done what church or canon law requires.
Now, what church is he talking about? He's not talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I just gave you three scriptures. I just gave you three scriptures where Jesus would not have the commandments of men rule in his church. Only the hypocrites, the kind of hypocrites that Isaiah spoke of, would drop the word of God and embrace the commandments of men. Just like this guy right here. Just like this guy right here.
We've done what church or canon law requires.
You see, when Isaiah prophesied, in Isaiah 29, verse 13, he was speaking of J. Delano Ellis. When Jesus spoke in Matthew 15 and in Mark 7, he was speaking of J. Delano Ellis and the Joint College of African American Bishops and others. But they're included. Anyone who abandons the Word of God, anyone who drops the Word of God and just gets caught up in the traditions and the commandments of men is one of those hypocrites Isaiah spoke of. Jesus said, well did Isaiah speak of you. But who was Isaiah speaking to? Well, Isaiah was speaking to people in his day. But you see, it's an all-encompassing prophecy. It's for every hypocrite down the corridors of history, for every subsequent hypocrite that would drop the word of God and take up the commandments of men, they were included in Isaiah's saying. And what do? They drop the commandments of God. They turn their backs on the word of God. They turn their backs on the canon of scripture. And they take up the doctrines of men, and they peddle the doctrines of men, and they institute the doctrine of men, and it's called canon law or church law. How many times do we need to hear Mr. J. Delano Ellis say the same thing? Well, what is canon law? Well, here, looking at the Catholic Encyclopedia Revised and Updated, on page 91, canon law, code of canon law. Let me read to you on page 91. Canon law is the official body of ecclesiastical law for the Latin Church and is gathered in a single volume known as the Code of Canon Law, in Latin Codex Judis Canonici. So what is canon law? It is the official body of ecclesiastical law for the Latin Church or the Roman Catholic Church, of whom Mr. Ellis is part of. That's why Mr. Ellis is always going to Rome to meet with the Pope and to visit the Pontifical College. And my brothers and sisters, it's no secret. It's no secret that Mr. Ellis loves to go to Rome and has on numerous occasions. It goes on to say, it is this body of law that is exercised in behalf of the faithful by the Roman Curia, and all the church courts are regulated by the functioning of all church affairs. Let me read that to you again. What is canon law? It is the body of law that is exercised in behalf of the faithful by the Roman Curia. Now, what's the Roman Curia? The Roman Catholic Mafia, the ecclesiastical mafia. And it is used to do what? To regulate the functioning of all church affairs. You see, you use canon law to do what? To run the church. All the church's affairs. Now, in the Maronall Catholic Dictionary, this is what it says about canon laws. The rules, laws, and decrees of the church. The major body of church law is to be found in the 2,414 canons, which have been gathered into a book called Codex Judis Canonici, Code of Canon Law. See, these are the rules, laws, and decrees of the church. This female bishop as Mr. J. Delano Ellis says, and he's doing it for the cameras. Why is he doing it for the cameras? Because Rome, you see, Rome is not going to accept these bishops unless Mr. J. Delano Ellis qualifies it and says, we've done everything according to church or canon law. Now, he's stopping short of telling you what church it is, but I'm telling you what church it is, and it's not the Pentecostal church. The Pentecostal church has never seen such a thing in all of its history until now. Our Sunday's Visitor, Catholic Encyclopedia, Revised Edition, on page 182, this is what it says about canon law. The name given to the official body of the laws for the Catholic Church. The name given to the official body of laws for the Catholic Church. The name is derived from the Greek word canon, meaning a measure or rule. It goes on to say, only the Pope, or an ecumenical council, has the power to create legislation or interpret it officially for the entire church. In other words, the Pope was overseeing the ordination of that female bishop. And of all the bishops that Mr. J. Delano Ellis elevates. Again, let me read to you proposition number 62. The purchasing of an insignia, such as the gold pectoral cross. Where do these people get this thing of insignia? What does insignia mean? It means accessory. Where do they get these itemized accessories? Who made up this list? Well, we know the Pope did because we did a broadcast on that. And this pectoral cross makes those who wear them the grandest of hypocrites. Why? Because their outward appearance says we love Jesus, but their heart is far from him. That's why they render him lip service. Why? Why are they rendering Jesus lip service? Because the moment that you lay down, the moment you lay aside the commandments of God and you take up the traditions of men, you become, and Jesus said, the reason why you're a hypocrite and the reason why you give me lip service is because canon law has made you do such a thing. When you take up that garbage, when you submit yourself to canon law, when you take up the traditions of men, and by the way, it's not just the traditions of men, but it's the traditions of men mingled, intertwined with doctrines of demons. That's why the Joint College of African American Bishops is a dangerous organization. Why? Because it is promoting Roman Catholicism in the black church. And that's why you can hear someone like J. Delano Ellis said, God forbid that we should glory in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. And you just know when he says that, you just know that that's just pure nonsense. God forbid that we should glory except in the cross of Jesus Christ. Then why are you having people get up and kiss this woman's ring? And why are you telling people that they can no longer hug her because she's a bishop now, she's an elevated person, and now when she sticks out her hand, you have to bow and kiss the ring. You're not glorying in Jesus Christ once you're doing that. That's why I'm telling you, J. Delano Ellis is one of the grandest of hypocrites. One of many, because the Joint College of African American Bishops has a whole load of people with the same mindset. They've been distorted. Their minds have been turned to mush. Why? Because of the traditions of men. The Word of God empowers you, not makes you stupid. The Word of God makes you wise. It doesn't turn you into a nut. But that's what J. Delano Ellis and his Joint College of African American Bishops do. When they ordain people and say, we've done everything according to church or canon law. Do the research, my brothers and sisters. The Pentecostal church, in all its history, has never had canon law. It's never had canon law. Why? There's only one church on the face of the earth that had canon law, the Roman Catholic Church. And her ugly stepdaughter, the Anglican Church, has had canon law because she got it from Rome. And now the African American Pentecostal Church is getting canon law because J. Delano Ellis and his band of stooges and goons are introducing it. Mr. Ellis, the number here for you to call in is 646-564-9730. Mr. Ellis, would you like to call in? Would you like to explain? Would you like to explain why you said this?
We've done what church or canon law requires.
Tell us which church, Mr. Ellis. Because in Matthew 16, 18 and following, Jesus said, I will build my church. And Jesus never mentioned canon law. Jesus never mentioned a person called the Pope who would one day arise and establish canon law. Jesus never spoke of a church hierarchy. Jesus never spoke of a church wearing purple and scarlet. Jesus never spoke of a church with effeminate men in it. Jesus never spoke of that church. He never spoke about people wearing crosses. He spoke about people carrying crosses. He spoke of true followers giving him true praise, not giving him lip service, Mr. Ellis. Can you please explain, Mr. Ellis? Can you please tell us? Can you enlighten us, sir? You with the many doctorates there, can you enlighten us? Can you show us? Can you point us to a scripture text? I read your book, The Bishopric, a handbook on creating episcopacy in the African-American church, and I only saw one scripture citation, and that was Acts 2:4. Only one, sir. In all of these, in all of this, a 97-page book, in this 97-page book, I never saw any mention of scripture. When you talked about manicures, and you never gave us a scripture backing up manicures or, you know, grooming practices. You never gave us a scripture for the cassock or the rochet or the ob or the stole. You never gave us a scripture for the ring or the pectoral cross. You never gave us a scripture, Mr. Ellis. You gave us a lot of gibberish. You gave us a lot of foolishness. You gave us a lot of hee-hawing. You gave us a lot of nonsense, a lot of imbecilic posturing, but you never answered. There's nothing here worth reading. This is a stupid book. And the reason why it's stupid is because it's not based on the canon of scripture, which gives life. It's based on canon law, which produces death. So here's Mr. Ellis again. The next time someone in your church is getting ordained and J. Delano Ellis is the chief consecrator, you wait to hear this because you're going to hear it.
We've done what church or canon law requires.
And basically what he's saying is we've done what the Antichrist requires. We've obeyed the Antichrist. We've perverted and corrupted and twisted another church. We've perverted and twisted and leavened another minister. And we're going to continue to move on with our leavening agenda because we have to prepare the church for the Antichrist. And I say to you, get out of that church. Get out of that church. Get out. Get out of Babylon. Get out before it's too late. Come out of her, my people, saith the Lord. Get out of her, my people, saith the Lord. The Lord is telling us, come out of the church. Come out. Come out of this church. Come out of this. Come out. Why come out? Because God is about to judge her. God is about to judge her. Don't you be part of the judgment. Don't you be caught up. Don't you be found there. Come out. Now, brothers and sisters, Sister Marie will be in studio to do her broadcast tomorrow, her part 3 on the postmodern world war on the truth. You don't want to miss tomorrow. I'll be back on Saturday for proposition thesis number 63, and I'll be back on Sunday with proposition number 64. God bless you. And come out of her, my people, saith the Lord.
Judge God.